Welcome to Community Connections, your source for information and participation opportunities in and around the San Antonio area.
Brought to you by Owl Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center, with the support of the Buena Gente at Texas Public Radio. This is Martha Sines
and AZ Martinez,
bringing you information you can use, as well as showcasing personality profiles impacting our community. Today is Saturday, April 23rd, 2022. Welcome to today's show. I'm so happy to have an interview. I'm going to let him introduce himself, but you know who he is as well as I do. Go ahead, Larry. Take it away.
My name is Larry Roser, and I wear many hats. I am a Red Cross volunteer, and I am the information and referral specialist, but I'm also going to tell you that I've been working virtually since COVID, and now that COVID is basically over, I'm going in once a week, and I'm working with my two ITs and my supervisor, Tracy, about being licensed to be a chaplain. And there's a lot more to the story that I could tell you, but that along with being the information referral specialist, I am glad to be back at the Red Cross again.
Oh, and I bet they are so glad to have you back. You have to tell us more about the story. First, you know, when did you first start getting back to the office from the pandemic?
I started back, 2 weeks ago. So the first week, it was just getting introduced to my ITs and also get back with the staff and introduce everybody. And then the following week, we did some minor work on my phone and the computer. But the only thing that we need to do to make things right is just to get the phone working in order. But otherwise, everything's going good.
Now, what is this about a chaplain?
Yes, let me tell you what's going to happen. My head IT, and his name is Kenneth, he spoke to Jeff Harris, my minister at Grace Point Church, and I'm going to be licensed by my minister, but I'm also going to be taking some courses from the Red Cross along with my church. And with all that, what's going to happen, the chaplain, along with a few chaplains that are already available, we're going to be going out on fire calls and disaster calls. Some will be virtual, some will be live. And so when people are hurting, they want to spout up their frustration about having a fire or a flood or any other type of disaster. So what the chaplains are there for is to comfort and love those who have been victims of disasters.
Oh, Larry, you have such a big heart. That takes a lot of, you know, you have the qualities for it because you're a really good listener. And you have been around, you know, you've had your own obstacles to overcome, so you have compassion.
Yes, I have compassion from not just being a licensed social worker, but I can also remember growing up with strict parents, knowing that we had to have structure in life. And then when I was living in Texas for the first 3 to 4 years, it was after my dad went through a traumatic divorce from my mother. And so dad and I were roommates. And when we were roommates, we really got related because I went to the school for the blind during the week. I hardly ever saw my parents. Well, I saw a lot more of my mom than my dad because my dad had a job where he had to work waxing floors and just making money. So we didn't see dad much when we were kids, but when dad and I became roommates, we really got bonded. And so we got to know each other. We got to go to church on occasion. We went on camping trips and we did a lot of neat things together. And so that's why I learned how to be patient with my dad, because when my dad was going through a divorce and having to change lifestyles, I needed to learn how to listen to dad. And when I listened to dad, that's when we really got bonded. And right before he died, I would visit dad at the assisted living center and the nursing home. And so that's what happened.
See, that's amazing, because you have all of these life stories, and, you know, There's no way to predict what a person is going to do. If the pandemic has taught us anything, is that life can come at us pretty hard and fast, unexpectedly. So.
And you know, one other thing I want to say. When I went to college, I had aspirations of becoming a teacher, but then being with my dad and being with the friends in a new city, I said, you know what? Social work will teach me how to be a good listener, and with my LBSW degree in social work from a Radiant Lake University, it really gave me the opportunity not just to listen to people, but to listen to people who are grieving. And so when you tell me about your parents having to go through hard times, if you leave our radio, I just want you to know that I'm always here for you and will always help you. And if people just want to spill themselves on me, it's always good. And that's what I'm here for, is to listen to you and your family.
You know, I had mentioned about how you had given me counsel when I told you about this change in my life, be having to care for my parents, give them more attention than previously. And that's why I think you're going to be just perfect. Plus, you have all this information, you know, about resources, you know, about places in the city and alliances. You have a wealth of information to assist people.
Well, I have a wealth of knowledge of places where I could always send people that need assistance. But you know what? When people always ask me what are the best places to send people, I say, don't go to any places unless they have case managers. With a case manager, when you're assigned a case manager, they work with you until your case is closed, and they also give you a list of referrals that you can go, and when all of your needs are met, that's when everything is solved. But sometimes it takes time, but you know what? It takes a good listener to know that sometimes when a person talks to you, they just want to cry and scream. But what a good listener does is listen to their conversations. And if you don't say anything or just say very little, that's when they really like having you, because if you stop and interrupt, then it disrupts the flow.
That's correct. If somebody's coming to you for help, it doesn't do them any good to turn the conversation around and make it all about you instead of the person who's hurting.
Right.
I was just going to say, I think as you go through this training, it's just going to make you enhanced, because you are already good. You already know how to help people, and you are already a good listener. So this training to become a chaplain, it's just going to make you so much more.
That's true, because not all people are going to be Baptist, not all people are going to be evangelical. You're going to be talking to people who never go to church, because and sometimes the church pushed them out. But you're going to be talking to people who are grieving and are angry and they're frustrated. And so if they need spiritual counsel other than what I can give them, I can refer them to places where they can get help.
Yes.
And I know, so bear in mind that we have other chaplains other than me, but what I will be doing is to guide the chaplaincy, knowing that the majority of the people that you're going to be talking to are victims of fires, floods, and natural disasters are naturally upset and angry. When you lose a house to a fire, or you lose a house to a disaster, and you have to travel 300 miles just to get out of that zone, you're wondering, am I ever going to get it back? Well, you'll get it back in time, but it may never be the same, because you lose things, your house gets flooded, and everything like that. You just have to be a listener, knowing that people get angry, you just listen and give them solid advice on where to go to get help. And sometimes they're going to go to a shelter, or sometimes they're going to go to a hotel, but that's where it all starts.
Yes, and the fact that you're there helping people, it makes me so proud of you. You've been a really good friend all these years that I've been working here at OWL, volunteering here at OWL. You've always been supportive and encouraging. I didn't pay you to tell me those nice things.
No, you didn't. But you know, there's another side that I remember. When you were in the Army, you were a MP.
Yes.
And so being an MP, you had to basically do the same thing that I had to do, except that you were wearing a badge. But you know what? You, from being an MP, it gave you the knowledge to go back to school, get a degree, and do everything you're doing right now, and as being a good reporter.
Yeah, you and I are both Our Lady of the Lake alumni.
Yes.
I hope that everything, no, I don't hope. I know that everything is going to work out really well with you as chaplain. So,
and I know that everything is going to be well with you leading our radio. I don't think it's going to be a permanent thing, but I think it's going to be something that you need to do, because there's a point in time where you need to just be with family and understand that when they need help, I always tell all of my readers that read for me and other things, I say, one thing I always tell you, family first. And
yeah.
With family, it's God, and if you can just be with family, just understand that if you ever need me for anything, I will set aside time just to listen to you.
Oh.
Because it's not going to be easy what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, you may on occasion want to cry or scream or whatever, but always remember, it's healthy to let everything out rather than hold it in.
Yes.
And that's what I would tell anybody that needs help. Let it out and let it go.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's frustrating to be angry. It's frustrating to cry. But then again, there's nothing wrong with it at all.
Very true. Taking care of them has taken up a lot of my time. I had intended on going to the Low Vision Expo, but, you know, things came up.
Yeah, well, let me tell you what happened to the expo. We were at the Embassy Suites Hotel on Brook City Base, and what it was very good was for the first time since we've ever did the Low Vision Expo, we did it on the south side. And it was very good. The attendance wasn't perfect, but all the vendors were there, including Al Radio. But the most important thing I wanted to let everybody know, when we came to the south side, we let the south side know that they count. And so what happened, we gave the Southsiders resources, a place in their neighborhood where they can get help or just go to anybody who can help them with resources. And a nice thing to know, the Lighthouse was there, our radio was there, and all the other agencies that traditionally help us were there. And so I made it a point, I said, you know, I live on the north side where there's a lot of resources, but then again, there's a lot of good people on the south side too. And one never forgets that when I came to San Antonio in 1971, I was in a city that was totally foreign to me. The immediate family helped me, but you know what? When I needed help, my Uncle Fran's secretary, Ernestine Ramos, came up to me and she said, I live on the south side and my family will help you. And within 2 weeks, she came up to me and she said, Larry, I want you to call me Tia. And I didn't really know what Tia meant.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a Spanish word for aunt. And so from then on, I always had a person that I could talk to and cry on. And then when my Uncle Fran married her, after my Aunt Sarah died, you know, it was totally good, because she cooked meals for me, she counseled me, she loved me, and then from there, I got to make friends with her family, and then later on, I met Mary Morales. She lived on Nacalitos, and then her family started feeding me, playing records for me, introducing me to the culture, and so that's why I really love these two Southside families. They didn't have a lot of money, but you know what? They had a lot of love, and
aww,
so that's why I love them.
They had big hearts.
That's why I love you.
I love you, too. Isn't the Lighthouse or the Blind on the Southside, too?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, so that's a good resource for people to reach out to.
And you know what? If people don't have money or limited resources, they're always good. And I especially like the grants that they receive so they can help people. It gave the blind community a means of just calling and having a shoulder to cry on. And though it was virtual, there was always somebody on the other end that can listen to them. And that's what we did.
That's important. Even if it's a telephone call or it's a Zoom meeting or whatever it is, as long as there's someone on the other side listening and comforting, that's the best thing that can happen.
And this is what happened when people started going on Zoom more. We have a Zoom group of people that speak from the high school I went to in New York or New York Institute for Special Education. We also have Zoom groups for Alamo Council of the Blind. NFB has their own groups. And you know what? I have another personal friend who is a nurse, and she was volunteering for the Red Cross. But you know what? When I needed Florence Nightingale, Lisa Heber came in and she helped me. What I'm about to do is go to her boss at the Red Cross and say, you know what? Florence Nightingale means Lisa Heber. So please do what you can to just let everybody know that whenever I needed help, she helped me. And she would occasionally send me food. But you know what? We all went through hard times, but you know what? Things are getting better. But at the same time, I just want you to know and everybody to know that there's always support groups you can join. There are the people out there that love you, and this is why I'm here to help.
Oh, thank you, Larry. You know, I've enjoyed our friendship for so many years. You introduced me to Larry Johnson. We have gone to so many events. I mean, maybe we didn't drive in the same car, but we met up there, like at the Color of Blind, at the Low Vision Expos, and it's just been a real treat. I'm not walking away from Al. I'm just focusing on my folks. And
well, you know, Trina Bacon and I have become really close friends since COVID. She's come over here, sent me food. She's also ministered to me, but you know what she also did? She sent me a cleaning lady that really loves blind people and people with disabilities. So the reason why I like Tina has a heart, and so some of the people that she cleans for are people who work just like me, and that's why I like Tina, who also works for Trina. Trina's a real estate agent, you know, has a heart of gold for people, and with a colorblind and the craft classes that we used to do, she really has a heart of gold just like you.
She's amazing. Yeah, she's a really good friend, and she's one of those people that even if you don't see her for 2-3 weeks, 2-3 months, when you do get a chance to meet up with her, it's like no time has passed.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, she's got a big heart and a great laugh, and she's just a bundle of energy.
All the people who manage Al Radio, they're really good. And one of the things I hope to do whenever I get a chance to is to help train new readers that will come in. And if the readers can't always read on the radio, we could do podcasts together. But another thing I hope that Al Radio could do is do it. Talking program is doing with these other centers is this. We could probably be a springboard for training people how to read books and magazines for the Talking Book program across the country.
Oh, that's right. You know, and you would be excellent because you've been listening to Al Radio for a long time. So
since 2003, I was one of the first persons to get Al Radio back in March of 2003. And when we first started doing Al Radio, we were only playing programs in the mornings and not repeating at night times, but then 2 or 3 years later, they expanded the program, and so it's just so much better now. And not only do we do the local program, but we also hook up with national programs where people can listen to our radio during the day when there's no local programming. So, and you know what? Having a smart speaker with Alexa, you can also listen, say, Alexa, please play OWL Radio, and she'll play Al Radio 24 hours a day.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And it also plays podcasts, too.
Oh, that's excellent.
And not all the podcasts are from Al Radio. They're from different sources. And so having a smart speaker that I got in May of 2000 really opened up some areas for me for just listening to things. I never knew existed. And it also plays radio stations from all over the country.
Wow, that is excellent. See, and that's the great thing about technology is that it just opens up the world. I mean, just like you said, you're able to connect with Zoom from all across the country. You know, you're not restricted to San Antonio when you're on the internet. The whole world walks in your...
Right.
Yeah.
It's all there.
Well, I'm so glad that you took the time to let me interview you, Larry. I'm just so pleased that we got this time together, and thank you for everything you do, not just for me, but for the entire San Antonio community. You are a treasure. And
one more thought before I let you go. When you first started reading, when you were doing some of the nighttime readings for our radio, your daughter used to read too, and she was wonderful.
Yes, she was. She did a good job. I wish we could have had her continue, but, you know, daughters, they grow up and they go away. So what you gonna do about it?
That's okay. That's okay. We just wish her the best of everything. And even though she can't read for me anymore, there's nothing wrong because she's helping in another way, and that's fine.
Yes, that's true. Thank you again, Larry. You take care, and you know you're always in my heart.
And you know what? I will not continuously call you if you leave our radio, but always remember one thing. If you need a shoulder to cry on, you can always call me anytime, and we'll be for you.
Thank you, Larry.
Yes.
Yeah, so once again, I thank you so much. You know, I really am just so pleased and proud of you because you are stepping up for others, and that's amazing. That's something that, you know, doesn't happen every day. Not everybody has a wealth of kindness or understanding. So I'm proud to call you my friend.
Well, you know, I just want to end on one thing. Your stroke that you had was traumatic, but you made yourself a stronger person because you became a better listener and you became a better person. And so with that in mind, you're stronger now than you were 11 years ago.
Thank you. And thank you for remembering me, always.
Always.
All right, honey. You have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So that wraps up my interview with Larry Roser. This is not my last show. My last show will be Mother's Day weekend, at least for a while. But I'll always be around, you know, if Owl Radio needs me and I can be here, you know I will. Closing out today's show with some words of wisdom from the other Larry, Mr. Larry Johnson. Until next time. Thank you for tuning in to Community Connections on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org.
This program will be re-aired this evening. If you have comments or questions about this show, call the Owl Radio office at 210-829-4223.
This is Martha Sines
and AZ Martinez
saying goodbye from Owl Radio.
One day a man saw an old lady stranded on the side of the road. Even in the dim light of day, he could see that she needed help. So he pulled over in front of her Mercedes and got out. He approached her with a smile on his face, but he could tell that she was worried and afraid. No one had stopped to help for the past hour. She wondered, was he going to hurt her? He didn't look safe. He looked poor and hungry. The young man could see that she was frightened and cold, and so he said, I'm here to help you, ma'am. Why don't you wait in the car where it's warm? And by the way, my name is Brian Anderson. Well, all she had was a flat tire, but for her, an old lady, that was bad enough. Brian crawled under the car looking for a place to put the jack, skinning his knuckles a time or two in the process. Soon he was able to change the flat tire. And as he was tightening up the last of the lug nuts, she rolled down her window and started talking to him. She told him that she was from St. Louis and was only just passing through. Brian just smiled as he closed her trunk. The lady asked how much she would owe him. Any amount would have been all right with her. She imagined all sorts of awful things that could have happened had he not stopped to help. But Brian never thought twice about being paid. This was not a job. It was just helping someone in need. God knows there were plenty of times when others had helped him. He told her not to worry about it, that if she really wanted to pay him back, the next time she saw someone who needed help, to just give that person the assistance that they needed and think about him. She started her car and drove off. A few miles down the road, the lady saw a small cafe. She went in to grab a bite to eat and to take the chill off before she made the last leg of her journey. It was a dingy-looking little restaurant. The young waitress came over and brought her a clean towel to wipe her wet hair. She had a sweet smile, one that even being on her feet for the whole day hadn't erased. The lady also noticed that the waitress was quite pregnant, but never heard her complain or let the strain change her attitude. The old lady wondered how someone who seemingly had so little could be so kind to a stranger like her. She then remembered Brian, and after she finished her meal, she paid with $100 bill. The waitress quickly went to get her change, but when she came back, the old lady had slipped right out the door. The waitress looked around, and then she noticed something written on the napkin. There were tears in her eyes as she read the words. "Keep the change, please. I have been there too. Recently, someone helped me out, so now I have the chance to do the same. The way to pay me back, if you wish, is to not let this chain of love ever end." And under the napkin were four more $100 bills. Well, there were tables to clear and sugar bowls to fill and people to serve. But the waitress was quite happy, and she made it through another day. That night when she got home, she climbed into bed next to her husband, and she was thinking about the gift of money and what the lady had written. How could she have known how much her husband and her needed it with their baby due next month? She knew how worried her husband was, and as he lay there sleeping next to her, she leaned over and gave him a soft kiss and whispered, "Everything's going to be all right now. I love you, Brian Anderson." This month, on April 28th, we'll mark the 15th anniversary of Pay It Forward Day, an idea, a movement that was started in Australia by Blake Beatty, an international management consultant and author, who chose to believe that acts of kindness toward strangers could change the world for the better. Over 86 countries and hundreds of cities now participate in Pay It Forward Day. In this time of trouble, war, and violence, it's genuinely reassuring to know that there are millions of people all over the world who are performing simple acts of kindness every day for a neighbor or a stranger, with the hope that it will ease that person's burden and perhaps encourage them to do the same for someone else. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, "You cannot do a kindness too soon, for you never know how soon will be too late." I'm Larry Johnson. Stay well.